Support for the Positive Judaism podcast comes from Tamid, the downtown synagogue in New York City. People of all faiths and backgrounds are welcome to celebrate Jewish life at Tamid. Visit www.tamidnyc.org for more information.
From New York City, welcome back to the Positive Judaism podcast. I'm Rabbi Darren Levine. Positive Judaism is a new vision for Jewish life in the 21st century, which lives at the intersection of religious living and the science of well-being and happiness. In this episode, I will be speaking about divorce and offering some ideas that may surprise you. When I stand with a couple under the chuppah, the overwhelming feelings in the room are for love, hope, and future. However, not all marriages are destined to last. A marriage may be full of promise, but the couple may not be one another's beshert, the partner they are destined for in life. Divorce can be painful, confusing, and sad, but it can also be freeing, a fresh start, and a new beginning. I have watched divorce ruin people, forever sour their lives, char them with resentment, and destroy them spiritually. However, there is another way forward, which I call the positive divorce. A positive divorce depends on your mindset, and in most situations, it depends on your ability to forgive. Having lived through it myself, I can say with conviction that in certain situations, divorce is a mitzvah. I am not a proponent of divorce. I am a proponent of positive marriages and unified families. I pray for shalom bayit, peace in the home, for all the families in my congregation, because healthy marriage is at the foundation of society. And research shows that people in healthy marriages are happier than those who are divorced. The research shows that on average, the happiness levels of people who divorce increase over time. People are resilient, and when they have the desire to turn their traumatic life experiences into growth opportunities, they will grow. The same is for children. Most parents would do anything to protect their children from pain, and studies show that kids are the reason that many unhappy couples stay together. This is a mistake. The majority of research on children of divorce show that the long-term effects on their lives are often not as great as parents fear. More importantly, we must compare the effects on children who live in a home where there is significant parental conflict to how well children fare after divorce. And the findings are clear. Children exposed to major parental conflict suffer from depression, anxiety, and have troubled relationships with their peers at much higher rates than children of divorced parents. Bottom line, marital conflict is worse on children than divorce. Yet for the couple, living through a divorce is like riding a roller coaster. For many, there are surprise twists and drops that nobody can anticipate. Sleepless nights, financial uncertainty, anxiety for their children's mental health, social stigma. But eventually, and hopefully, things begin to calm down, and people can begin to imagine a new future with new chapters, and this is a positive step towards happiness and well-being. Along the way, one of the key virtues for positivity within divorce is forgiveness. Forgiveness is critical. I've seen people master forgiveness, and I've also seen people unable to forgive and carry their anger and resentment to their grave. The choice is yours. Divorcees and their families can carry the burdens of divorce or choose to grow and to forgive and to move on to positively embrace the full expression of their new chapters in life. This is my hope for anyone who is touched by divorce. The Talmudic sages of 2,000 years ago recount a story about a Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi was married to a woman who would insult him in public, even in the presence of his students. When his student Eleazar urged him to divorce her, Rabbi Yossi said that he would like to, but he lacked the funds to pay for the divorce. So the student raised the funds to enable his teacher to buy his way out. His ex-wife then went and married another, but her new husband lost all his money and became blind, so his wife would lead him around begging for charity. Once, nobody in one city after another gave them anything, and so the new husband asked his wife, "Is there another neighborhood in the city where we can go?" She replied, "There is one other neighborhood, but my first husband lives there, and I am too embarrassed to go." Just then, Rabbi Yossi saw her and her new husband walk past. He saw their poor state and decided to provide them with a house and food for the rest of their lives. In this story, the value of forgiveness takes center stage. Though Rabbi Yossi and his ex-wife were not beshert, they were married and loved one another for a chapter of their lives. Yet even after, Rabbi Yossi maintained his deep humanity and came to support his ex-wife because his financial situation had changed and because now he could. I imagine that Rabbi Yossi needed to forgive his ex-wife for the public humiliation and insults, and also he needed to forgive himself and take his own measure of responsibility for their divorce. In Hebrew, the word for forgiveness is tshuva, and Jewish tradition teaches that tshuva was created in the spiritual world before the creation of the physical world. Forgiveness is the ability to give up the need for vengeance and to pardon wrongdoing, but it is also a deep understanding that people change and others must accept that change. Forgiveness is so essential to Jewish practice that the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur are also called the 10 days of forgiveness. Forgiving others and forgiving ourselves gives us a clean start to a new year and allows us to move forward positively in our lives. You can choose to harbor negative feelings and live in your pain, or you can choose to free yourself from negativity and live with forgiveness and say, "I hereby forgive all who have transgressed against me, whether on purpose or by accident." The choice to forgive is always yours. In my experience, learning to forgive was essential. But every divorce is different, and depending on the circumstances of your life, you will need to draw on other virtues and strengths to guide your way to healing, such as optimism and hope that your life will eventually rebound and your new level of happiness and well-being, along with your children's, will increase. If you believe you can or believe you can't, you're probably right. So believe that you can, and you will. Elizabeth and Paul were married for 8 years when they came to see me for the first time about their marriage. Two successful professionals, they met in London in their 30s when they were both working abroad for U.S. companies. They fell in love quickly and got married within a year. Elizabeth told me that Paul was so fun when they first married and that they would take trips almost every weekend to cities in Europe. They were both hardworking and shared an interest in travel and movies. Soon after their wedding, Paul was offered a job in New York City. They moved here together, and Elizabeth got pregnant with their daughter. When they came to see me for the first time, they could barely look at each other. I could tell immediately that they had major marital problems. She complained about his insane work hours, and he responded that he needed to work so hard to pay for their lifestyle. He complained that she didn't respect him or understand why it was so important that he put in the time now so that later on they did not have to worry about money so much. She felt that he was sacrificing his marriage and his fatherhood to his career. He was impressed that she worked and managed their daughter's life, but he was angry and bitter about their sex life because she was always tired and never wanted to be physically close. He felt rejected constantly and spent a lot of time late night in front of his computer. She went to sleep alone. They fought about everything. Paul and Elizabeth were in a lot of pain. I suggested some basic interventions like taking one night each week for a special date, taking a weekend away every few months since they used to love traveling together, and to bring flowers home each Friday and share a meal together as a family in honor of Shabbat, the Jewish Sabbath. And then after dinner, no computer, no phones, no work, just a focus on their relationship and their daughter, Isabel. I was impressed that they took this advice, and they agreed to give it a one-year trial. They checked in with me every month or so, but I could see this approach was not working. In fact, it made things worse. Since now they were spending a little bit more time together, there was more conflict. They felt that it was so forced and nothing genuine. They realized just how little they had in common beside their daughter and how much they had grown apart since 10 years ago in London, or if they really were ever a couple. These thoughts estranged them even further, and they came to see me to say time was up, she was done living alone in their marriage, and she wanted a divorce. So within a month, he moved into his own place, and their daughter started going back and forth between their households. In many divorces, there is major drama, affairs, abuse, neglect, lying, and cheating. But with Elizabeth and Paul, there was none of that. But there still was a lot to figure out. I had a conversation with them about how to build a new life for themselves and their daughter. I asked them, what does a positive outcome look like? They basically had stayed together for their daughter, so putting Isabel first would feel natural. And they created a co-parenting plan and agreed never to say anything negative about their other co-parent when Isabel was around, and they agreed to give Isabel full access to each other no matter their custody schedule. Isabel had the option to come and go freely from each parent. They also agreed never to put Isabel in the middle of their conflict, and that they would share birthday parties, graduations, life ceremonies, holiday dinners, and family affairs. Fast forward 6 years later, Isabel is 13 years old, a well-adjusted child doing well in school, and a leader on her travel soccer team. Her mom, Elizabeth, is remarried to a man who was also divorced with two children, and they're together building a new family that is a much better fit. Jonathan is single, thriving in his career, and scaling the ladder at his firm. In this situation, divorce was a mitzvah, and everyone is happier. Before we close this episode, it's important for me to say again that I am not a proponent of divorce. I am a proponent of positive marriages and unified families. However, I am also keenly aware that living in a bad marriage can feel like a disease and can create deep unhappiness and negativity for everyone connected to the marriage, the couple, the children, the extended family, and the community. In these instances, I turn to the wisdom in Jewish tradition, which supports divorce in certain situations, and I combine that with the research about personal happiness and well-being that shows that when there is a divorce, on average, people's happiness set point increases over time. Whatever your divorce situation may be, my advice is to uncouple in the most humane way possible, and to have faith in yourself that you can create a new and happier chapter of your life, and to always take the high road in order to make your divorce as positive as you possibly can. I've walked this journey myself, so I know how difficult it can be, and I wish you strength and wisdom as you travel this path.